35 was more like it. And the numbers was exaggerated terribly.
The number of cattle
he ran. The number of cattle he ran, and the location where he had the range rights, well, he had those in later years. Of course, that range deal came in, oh, I don't know, 1907, something like that. And Sam Hartman, Creighton, Dan McIntyre, and, well, there was another one or two, but those men had about the equal amount of cattle and just the same amount of range right. And it's all out of balance, you know. That doesn't make any difference because the dates is what counts.
Yes, but then you kind of like to have it as accurate as you can get.
That's right.
Yeah, but in there, but, you know, all that stuff builds up to the years there. And then there, that old guy, he had thousands of cattle in there.
4,500 head. No such amount was ever in this valley. Billy Boss had the most cattle that was registered here in a good many years, and that was in late years, you might say. I was punching cows for him. And he had 1,500 head, and that was the biggest bunch in this end of the county. So, at that time, of course, Hartman was more or less out of it. They went over in another area, and I think Creighton went with him. Creighton was the only one of those men that I knew personally and would, you know, as a kid, and it would stop and talk to me and that sort of thing.
I remember him. He used to, you'd see him downtown, he'd always give you a nickel or quarter or something for some candy.
Yeah. Last time I saw him was in Los Angeles, and he was getting quite feeble.
Yeah. Lester, he ended up when he left this country out of Los Angeles.
Right? Yes.
So.
And I don't know whether Dan was down there, Dan McIntyre, to stay or not. I didn't ask that day that I saw them, but he was there with Creighton in Creighton's home, or where he was living now on West Adams when it was the elite. But today it's colored town.
There's just so many things that I've read about that I just can't straighten out. Now, when they built the bank in 1912, that first National Bank building, there was a cottage hotel there.
Yes, I remember.
And they moved it. It's in the paper that I read that they moved it. Behind the First National Bank. Well, now that would have been the building across the street, the old Bank of Hotchkiss. Now there is a two-story building there, and it's real old. And I wonder if that's the old cottage hotel. You remember the building?
No, that was the Greers had the hotel.
Well, that was down this way further.
North. Yes,
yeah,
that's
Willoughby
right.
Bought this building from the bank, and he moved it. Now, I don't know where that building came from and I think that must be the building.
The chiropractor's office is
yes.
in that building now, and I looked at it the other day and was wondering the same thing, if it was the old Nile or the old Greer Hotel.
Well, no, we have a picture of that Greer Hotel, and it was more like a house. But I have a picture of Main Street taken, well, it was when it was Duke Dodge Scott and Company, so that had to be before 1909. And there is this two-story building at the end of the block where the bank stands now. But it only has two windows in the front. And this bank building has more than that. But this building where the chiropractor is now has two windows in it. And they moved it, and it said north of the First National Bank. And that's where the First National Bank was at that
yes,
time.
Yes, that's right.
And I just am positive that's that building, but I wanted to verify it. But it seems like somebody should remember moving a building.
Well, now, you see, there's where I'm wrong again. I thought that Duke, Deitch, and Scott was in the building. When they organized together, was where the Elks
Yes, that's right. That's right.
That's right.
That's where they are, but...
They built that in 1903.
But the... this cottage hotel was run by different people. Mrs. Barlow had it and other people, but it apparently stood there, and then when they wanted that lot to put the bank on, they tore it down, or moved it, it said. It even gave the Hawkins and somebody else that moved it. And it said north of the First National Bank, and I'm just sure that must be the building, but I can't verify it.
Well, I wouldn't know, but I just had that thought that I wondered if it was the other one that the Greers had, and the thought struck me, it doesn't look right.
On the brochure, there is a picture of, or on the carousel, of the Greer Hotel. And it was down this way further. The old bookstore had a warehouse on that side of the street, and it's right along beside it. And that's down closer to where the Rich Hotel was. You know, the Rich, I don't know whether you probably don't remember that, because...
No, I don't.
That was where the Baptist Church...
No.
Where the Church of God is now.
Oh, yes. The blacksmith shop was there when I first can remember. Swent's blacksmith shop.
Yeah. It was right along in there, too.
It was right on the corner, and the Niles Hall was across the street, and Ed Barrow had a drugstore down first floor.
Yes.
And Gelwick's home and furniture store was the first building north of it.
You remember where that Schwent lived?
No, I don't. But he had a shop there. My father worked for him a little about the time I was born.
Is that so? No.
Well, your dad was the first barber in here. You don't remember where his barber shop was, do you?
No. No, I don't.
Probably there on
and
the
I'm
original
not sure
Main
that
Street.
I don't believe I was born yet when he had that.
Well,
I lived out on the ranch when I was born, and I'm sure he didn't have any shop after I was born.
Well, he had the ferry, and, you know, he had so many things that I wanted to get all I could about him. I have a history sheet here I want you to take home and fill out, and then you can mail it back to me.
Okay.
And give me all the information you can about your family. When they came in here and, you know, just...
Well, they left out one man that came over the mesa together. Well, there was quite a bunch, but the one that came with my father was Harrison Hyde, George Craig, and he spent the winter up there. Do you remember where Goodwin's had a home east of the road out the other side of Crawford? Well, right in there someplace, they spent the winter in a dugout, a building that was dug back into the hill,
well,
and came on down into Valley the next spring. They came in there in the fall of 80, and they came on down here in 81. Now that I can remember, I can verify it in the notes.
Well, the Indians went out here in 81, and I just don't believe there were any white men in here until 81.
No, that's right.
So it must have been 81 he came down here in 82.
That's right.
I think I have it in my book that he came here to Hotchkiss in 82.
In 82. You got there in 81 then.
Yes.
Well, that is important memory. And I got that out of the book, or out of the record that Dad preserved.
Well, I
want to... And then I had a copy of most of that, and I have no idea where it is now, because I looked for it later after Anna passed away. And Frank Faubert's wife might have taken it. She pretty well cleaned out the place down there when Anna passed away, and especially things like that. You never contacted her, did you?
No, where is she?
She lives out east of town, out there on the mesa.
You, Robina?
Yes.
I've never talked to Robina. I've been going to go out there.
You might not be able to get a thing out of her, but I wouldn't want to contact her to see if she had anything, because we're not parallels at all.
Well, I'll go out someday and see her and see if I can't get some of that information.
That was just a guess, you see. That's an accusation I couldn't back up. But
yeah.
I couldn't find a thing, and Anna kept things meticulously. She had little drawers with this and that and the other in it, and it ought to be, I ought to have been able to find it, but I couldn't.
Well,
she had a lot of stuff in there that I didn't, that the original didn't have, you know, just things that came along a little later. But her memory and the records that she had were good. And as I grew up here, I didn't have the slightest interest in that sort of thing.
How old were you when you left here?
Well, that was after the war. I was 26. But my 26th birthday came in the Army.
Is that so?
In the Army.
First World War.
In the Army. Well, that's a long while ago yet. The bio is there. That's it.
Do you remember when that Niles Hall was built?
No. No, I went to school in it one winter. My sister Catherine and I, and I could name a bunch of the Woolly girls, by the way, were in that class.
Did you have Mrs. Fields for a teacher?
I did, and the best teacher I ever had. I got the best grades, and got along so very well with her. I just thought she was the finest person I ever knew.
She was my mother's sister, you know.
Yes. Oh, I used to, we'd meet on the sidewalk and stop and have a chat. I just loved her. Grand person.
Well, there's...
You used to live in Hotchkiss, and then you moved up in the ranch, or you lived in the ranch when you was a kid there? Then.
I lived there until I left this place.
Oh, I see, up in the ranch.
In the fall of 1919, after the war, I left and went to Salt Lake, and then back and gradually drifted to Southern California.
That's the one you've been there ever since.
Well, I retired in 57 from the city of Los Angeles. And
57.
My wife had a little farm down in northwestern Oklahoma, 160 acres, and that wasn't big enough to farm there, you know. Way they farm there, they got to have a section to make it. So I put it into grass and rebuilt the old home. Her mother was killed in that automobile accident, and she fell heir to it. And we didn't, neither one, like the climate, living in California as long as we did, that heat in the summer and cold in the winter and wind all the time. And we got pretty sick of it. So we sold the place. But the people, I've never lived in a place that had finer people than northwestern Oklahoma.
That's so. Really wonderful people down there.
Honest and helpful. Somebody has a bad accident or is killed, they just move in and take charge, you know. Our neighbor was killed by lightning, and he's right at the beginning of harvest, and he was also doing a lot of fencing and leveling of land, and it was all done in just a few days or a week or so. It was all cleaned up, no expense to the family or anything, and that's the way they operate. I told my wife, I said, the climate's so damn mean that they had to join hands to live. They're all right, I'll tell you. They talk about the Oki, you know, the Grapes of Wrath was written on that subject, and there was people that they just simply, the dust blew them out, that were doing very well. And there's lots of wealthy farmers there now, but no fatheads among them. I tell you, I was so surprised after reading The Grapes of Wrath, you know, I looked for a different type of human beings entirely. I'm stuck out in the pasture with a pickup, slick. I got it, the water run down into a low place and muddied it. And I drove too far in there and then couldn't get out. And I'm fighting it out there, cutting brush and tree limbs and jacking up and letting it down on it, you know. The man drives up the highway, stops, gets out of his car and comes over and out of his truck and says, "Can I help you? I never saw the man before." He says, "Oh, I always hate to go by and see somebody in trouble." And he's not alone. They're all that way. The guy calls up. He wants to borrow my pickup to unload a broken down truck that's full of wheat. And the wife tells him that I'm stuck up in the upper pasture, sandy, you know. It isn't but a little bit, I guess 20 minutes, half hour. Here he is with a long cable and a big truck to pull me out.
Yes, that's so. That's really nice. You saw Los Angeles build up then from
town
up to the city.
Nice little city. It was. I had lived in Salt Lake during the winter, and that's the coldest place in the world, I'm sure of it. When it's 10 below, you'll swear it's 30. It hurts. It's so damp. Lakes all around. And so I got out of there. I left here broke after, thought I was started, you know, my brother and I. And the war fixed us. We sold steers for $20 that we paid $40 for, and we didn't have anything left.
Rich that way.
And so I drifted on to Los Angeles. I'd been in Los Angeles in the wintertime, and it was nice and warm, so I went on down there. And when I got in town on the Southern Pacific from Sacramento, I had 5 cents in my pocket.
Yes, so.
And I'd had the flu. That was the third time, just a short time. And I was both sick and broke. And so help me, I'm not bragging, but I never went to the welfare or asked somebody else to feed me or clothe me. And I didn't make it very fast, but I didn't ask for help. And I haven't any patients with only a small percent of those that are asking for it now.
Yes, that's true.
There's old people and there's young people that need help. But there's thousands where there's 10 that don't need it.
Well, they could work if they wanted to.
They won't work.
They're for nothing.
The farmers have to have the wetbacks to harvest their crops, the fruit people. The blacks won't do it.
Right,
the whites that are on relief won't do it. It's lots nicer to.
You can get these Mexicans around here to work by. They live around here. These others come in, they'll work things around here, you know, if rather than relief.
You remember a fellow by the name of Finn?
Shin.
Finn.
Finn, oh yes.
I think his name was John.
I don't know. They had.
J.W. Finn, I have here.
Don, and what was the older one? Don was the younger boy. And then they had twins when they were old people that you wouldn't expect to have children.
Oh.
Two little boys.
You remember what he did?
No, sir, I don't.
I found a letterhead in a scrapbook down in Delta that said real estate and insurance. Now, he built that building over there where Neil's agency is. I guess
yes.
That building was torn down and a new one was put there later. But Brokaw's Saloon was over
yes,
there.
Yes, I remember that saloon.
And then Finn built that building. But I just wondered if he had his real estate office in there somewhere. I've just never been able to get that.
I don't remember either. I was in the Veterans Hospital in Los Angeles one winter, and Mrs. Finn and Mrs. Balch come to see me.
Wasn't that nice?
And the last time I had seen either one of them. And we talked quite a long time, but we never got on to the subject of their future life or mine either.
Well, that's been a long while ago, isn't that there? Mrs. Ball's been dead for years.
You don't remember where the old town hall was?
Well, that was the building on the corner across from this one shop. It was called Niles Hall at one time, but I know, and that's what I thought their city hall was there. When I was a small kid.
Could have been, because it was north of the bank building, it says. But I never could spot it in any particular place, you know. But
it was on the corner.
There was a furniture store in there, too, in Niles Hall. That Barrow and... Barrow and somebody else had this. George Miller.
They were in the drugstore together, Lloyd's father.
And they had the furniture store. Now, we have a picture of the Niles Hall with the furniture store in there.
That's right. When you bring it up, then I remember the...
Yeah. So I just couldn't place the Niles, the city hall, anywhere in particular, you know. But I did read that it was north of the bank building.
That has to be it, because that's the only building in there that... was answering for that. They called it Relief Corps Hall first, the first name I ever heard given it.
Well, now that Relief Corps Hall was down further.
North?
No, it was east. It's down about where that...
That was later years. So.
Later years.
Oh, yes, I remember that now.
But they did have the Relief Corps in that now hall then.
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm glad to know that, because... they built that building down there they call the Women's Relief Corps. Mm-hmm. I read where they had ice cream they sold in there and a lot of things, you know. And now we have pictures, well, mostly those have been taken at the Duke store. And there's other buildings behind it that I've never been able to...
Now, let's see, that's...
Yes, I know they had a warehouse.
I was trying to think. I should be able to remember what was in there east of the Duke store.
Now, Hillman had a store down there somewhere. You don't remember where Hillman's store was?
The first Hillman store that I can remember is where my nephew had his
shop. That building wasn't built until 1905, I think it was. But Hillman had a store in here in 1900.
No, that block in there... Mrs. Hansen was there when they had the railroad day, because Dale Smith and I walked up this stairway that I can't find now in the face of that building, and that whole block from the where the nephew is to where the hotel is was all built at once, and so it had to be... there is the first place that I could remember, the Hillman.
Hillman, I tell you, you may be recalling the stairs that went up into the hotel.
I don't remember what they were.
There were some stairs that went right from the sidewalk up into the top of the hotel. Now, the hotel was built in 1897, but that block where Gordon is was built in 1905.
Well, I'm wrong again, you see.
Yeah,
but there was
an outdoor stairway they went up there. The Fred Hotchkiss built that building. Now, I think 1905 is right. I'll have to look. May have been 1903. I'm going to turn that off. Most people are willing to give us this stuff so we can copy it anyway, you know.
I joined in Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma, was that so? Yeah. You got a Masonic emblem in there, and don't you want to join here years ago?
And I haven't transferred my membership yet, because I didn't know. My wife is gone. I didn't know what I'd do if she precedes me. She's 6 years younger. The last 2 years, I've aged mentally more than I had in 10 before.
It doesn't seem to me like you've aged mentally.
Oh, yes, you'd be surprised. I'm liable to forget something that you told me 15 minutes ago. I'd forget in my head if it wasn't fastened to me when I go to do things.
I have to write everything down, so I'll be sure to remember.
So do I.
You know, You know, there's another thing I was going to ask you about. When they built the fairgrounds down here in 1905, and before that they had sort of a racetrack down in there. And I read somewhere that that was called Keplinger Park. You don't have any idea where
that
came
from? Never heard that before.
Well, I read it somewhere that they called it Keplinger Park, but I never could find a record of a Keplinger in here.
I don't believe you will either, because that I didn't know about, because we were always interested in the fairgrounds. My father helped build it.
You talk so that records, and I want to get these stories. See, I turn this on when you're saying something I want to record.
Okay. Well, we want to be sure it's right.
Oh, well, that's your version of it. That's what counts.
Yes, the people all around the area took their teams and their Mormon scrapers and built that racetrack, you know, and they joined the organization, and my dad was a member. He was down there.
Well, there was a Mr. Skinner that seemed to have charge of it, who had the actual supervision of the work, but I don't know who he was.
Well, Skinner was, he contracted some things around dirt moving, but I don't know whether that was his only vocation or not, but I remember the man.
You remember the man?
There was a Skinner lived up on the Root Creek there somewhere.
Out the west. I thought it was Rogers Macy, but that's just a guess.
Seemed to be up further. You know, it could be Rogers Mesa, it could be, but anyhow, there was a Skinner here, I know, up in there. But this Jim Baynard, and then it says a good deal of the credit is due Mr. S.A.H. B.A.U.G.H. I don't have any idea who that man was. Sabah.
Ashbaugh.
Oh, Ashbaugh. Well, that was the Ashbaugh that was in the store.
Yes. I thought that Henry Roberts had more to do with that racetrack and that park than any one individual.
Well, he was in it. It just... says, on the second day of June, what is now a place of amusement was a practical jungle, covered with a rank growth of brush and vines. A good deal of credit is due Mr. Ashbaugh and Mr. Baynard, and no small amount to Mr. Skinner, who has had the actual supervision of the work.
Well, I suppose that
they're all the businessmen were in on it.
Roberts was more in the bookwork, possibly, than the rest of them. But
yeah.
I know that he had a good deal to do with it.
It said that Henry Roberts had the first meat market here. You don't remember him having a meat market, do you?
I can't remember him being in the meat market, and I was trying to remember who was in the meat market, my first recollection.
Now, in 1902, Billy Balch had a meat market there in what was then the First National Bank, where that attorney's office is now, and around on First Street, in the back of that. And then there was a Whitman, bought him out, and then Roy Hammond bought Whitman out.
John Whitman, yes. Then Roy Hammond in the meat market there.
Yeah.
They're very familiar.
You remember the fire bell, the bell tower we had down there on Main Street? Yeah, where the post office is now. But I don't know, they... You remember the racket store?
Yes.
Where was it?
It's across the alley from the Gunther...
Barney's store.
Barney's store.
Right. Right. Well, was it there before the fair store?
As far as I know, it was there first that I remember being there. It originally, Horace Sayers had a harness shop and leatherworking downstairs in that building. But after he was out of it, why, it became the racket store.
Oh. Well, the only clue I have to that racket store at all is a picture taken of the building Gordon's in now, and there was a reflection in the window that says racket store. And that's the only place I've been able to place
that
racket store.
Well, you see, that would be right for position.
Yeah, but the fair store was there at that time.
Maybe that's what I'm calling racket store.
No, the fair store was Giffey's store.
Yes.
But this racket store must have been next to that.
Well, that's must have been
because it was a smaller building, but there is a reflection in that window, and that's the only thing I've been able to place that racket store at all.
Well, that racket store must have gone in after I left here. I left here fall of 1919.
No, it was there. There was a fellow by the name of Jones ran it, and then it became a secondhand store. And this was way back when, back 1905, 7 or something.
Oh,
like
that
then,
early.
You know.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to place these things, you know, except our old pictures have given us so much. But here I found that reflection of the racket store in that building. But the fair store is there too, so the racket store must have been next to it. Of course, those buildings have all been torn down.
Yeah, they're gone now, but that, you could have gotten that in, let's see, the angle of the sun was this way. It would have, could have reflected across, made you a triangle. It would have been practically a right triangle from that window over to the other one.
Well, that fair store was built in 1903. Giffey or Patterson built it, and then Giffey's wife was a Patterson, and they started this fair store in there, and then it just kept growing and growing. But there is a picture of this racket store, or this reflection, and that's the only thing I've ever been able to find on the racket store.
Well, that should be perfect, you know. You couldn't deny that.
No.
It'd have to be that right there, or the reflection couldn't have got into that store that Gordon places, Gordon's in.
We have quite a time placing some of these, but if you have a picture, and you know now, like the high school building was built in 1910, and if you have a picture with that in, then you have to date it after 1910. If it isn't there, why, we put it before 1910, but we have to run them down. Now, do you remember where the old log school was?
It was up near where the first high school, across the street from the new high school. The old building was in that area. Now, I don't know which corner, but it was in that area because my father worked on the building the same.
Well, now, the first schoolhouse was brick. I mean, the first permanent schoolhouse. But they had a log schoolhouse down in there somewhere.
Before that.
Before that.
And that was in that same block, I'm positive, because Dad talked about working on the log schoolhouse. And
that would be some place to be in the schoolhouse, and now at the corner where Niles Hall was.
Well, now it's called Cleo Livesey, Cleo Ernst. I guess her name is down. places that are across from the, about across from the Baptist Church, right along in there.
I think it was in that old cabin that the Blessings was in.
Well, the picture we have, the first picture we have of that little square brick schoolhouse, you can't see a building beyond that, Bud. Unless that building hides that log cabin. It may have been close enough to that new brick school, so it didn't show when they took this picture. The picture was taken looking this way, I didn't see.
Well, we went to school with kids over in what they call the Cottonwood School, close to Billy Balch's home down north of it, but on that same road. And I came over to the Hotchkiss School in the third year school, and there was no log building where the brick building was. I went to school, it was in the third grade, in the old brick building that isn't there now.
What year would that be, Charlie?
And there was no log building on the lot, but...
Well, I think it was down a little further, you know, not right where that plot was, but...
I can't remember.
If it was across from the Baptist Church, it would be down further.
Well, you see, across from the Baptist Church was the two-story building there that Visner, isn't that his name?
Butcher.
No, Butcher's lived on the east across
yes,
on the corner.
Yes.
But I mean north. You was talking about being the opposite church.
Well, it would be on the north side of Main Street, this log schoolhouse.
Well, it wasn't up on where I thought it was then, because I just, from my dad's talk about working on the building, I thought it was in the area of the first brick building. But I knew it
wasn't. Well, it would be in that area. See, the Baptist Church is just down a little ways from the old brick school. But it was down in there, all right. Now, George Stoop said there used to be that log school down there, and he said down at the foot of the hill. I always pictured it over this way, but I found out later, you know, since that it was down further.
I'm sure I never saw a building of that type.
Well, this first picture we have of this,
we had a school party at your house. You remember that?
Oh, I
guess you was pretty small because your sister wasn't any older than I, and I don't know, I think it's about the fourth grade. It's the first party I'd ever been to. And I know I must have been a terrible wallflower because I think I just stood around in the thumb of my mouth. But I never will forget that.
You have so.
Wendell Hadley, I don't know if you remembered Wendell or not, he lived over here someplace. We were real chummy at school, and we were both, I think, a little scared. We felt out of place because I don't think either one of them, I don't think he had ever been to a party like this. And to think about it now, the details I remember, it was a grand, just had ice cream and everything, you know.
Ice cream and cake, the works here, what?
Well, most kids are sort of shy to party unless they know everybody there and know the home, then they're a little shy. Well, there's just, of course, in this research, I've pinned down an awful lot of things, but there's still a lot I have to go yet.
I'm sorry I can't be more help, because but I'll search diligently for what record of those records, and I haven't seen them. At least the three moves that we've made, I haven't seen that little book. It's all in a rather small book. But there's several pages of it. Anna asked me about it, and I gave it to her to copy a lot of stuff. And then she gave it back to me. I didn't leave it here. But if I can find it, you may have the book if you wish, because I have nobody I want to leave it to, and it'll be a good place to put it.
Well, anything like that, we're going to put in the library files, any records.
Well, I'll go through everything. My wife has got a lot of my stuff mixed in with hers, pictures, school pictures, that sort of thing.
Well, any old history or any pictures or any... Now, I'm trying to get a history of the old families in here, too. And that's why I started reading the newspapers, was trying to find old names, you know. And, boy, I got into this other end of it, the stories and the facts and this, and I kind of got waylaid on that family stuff, but I have over 600 names now.
Well.
How
nice.
Of course, we're going to carry it further after we get it up to 1910, then we'll start working from there on up to the present date. But if we could just get more people interested in this historical society, there's just a handful that are doing all the work, you know.
Oh, sure, always that way, and I hope you're making a hobby of it so that you're enjoying it.
Oh, I just love it.
Well, you got to have something of that kind. Now, I've gone down there in Northern California where I haven't met many people, and that's one reason I kind of hankered to go into Masons there, because I need something. Now all I'm doing is gardening for a hobby.
What's happened to get you to go up to the northern part of the state after living in the southern part of the state?
The southern part of the state isn't fit to live in now.
That's
right. The atmosphere isn't fit to breathe, and the congestion is something terrible. I went there about the first of the year, 1920, a little before the 1st of January, and it was paradise to me. I've been sick all winter, and I went over to Salt Lake from here and learned the barber trade. I had dropped out in school, one year high school, and I got a job out at Elkhorn, Nevada, and I'd had the flu twice that fall and winter, and I got it again out there, and at that time was depression years, you know, and I got it again, and I was off 4 or 5 days, and I went back to work, and my job was taken. The barbers were walking the street. There was no work for them. Prices were terrible. So I lost the job. Went back that Saturday, Monday morning, and he said, I went over to get my coat out of the cabin. He said, no, you should get your coat. He said, this man's permanent now. And that's the way they were. I lost 2 jobs that way then before I quit having the flu. And in Los Angeles, you couldn't make a living on it at that time. And Frank Dodge had been chaining on a survey gang with the Interurban Railroad. When I was talking to him, he said, how's your job? And I told him that I just lost it that day. I had a touch of flu, and Newt Heason had died there in Los Angeles. And my sister was out there, and Anna. And she said,
Newton's to be buried today. She says, I want to go to the funeral. And I said, well, I don't know if I can get off. And so when I went to work in the morning, I told this barber, I said, just two-man shop. I said, I got a lifelong friend. He's an older man, but he's to be buried before Islam. And I said, I'd like to go out to the chapel. I won't go to the grounds, but I think I can go to the chapel and be back in a little less than 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half. And he didn't say anything, and I was very foolish to think that he granted me permission, because he didn't say anything. I thought, well, it's all right, I'll go. I was gone 2 hours, and I came back, and a man's in my chair, barber.
Yes, that's low.
So I told Frank about it that evening, and he came over to where I was living. And my wife was teaching school in Richfield, Utah at the time. She left here earlier in September. We got a job over there. She knew that I had to get out of that shop down there. And if she left, she said afterwards, she knew I'd get out. So when I had a conference with George Duke, and he convinced me that I should. So probably says they got a stack of applications a foot high, but I bet if you go in there and to a certain office and ask for George McLaurin, head of the survey division, that you'll get the job. And I said, Frank, I don't know how rich you are for a lab, but you're here for 4 or 5 days. So I know about the business, and I'm a dropout in school. I had 1 year high school, and not very good school either. They didn't teach you anything but geometry and mathematics, or the algebra and geometry. And so I go up and ask him the job, and he says, have you any experience? And I said, no, I don't know one end and change from the other. Oh, I did change for a few days for a land butcher up in Colorado. And he looked at me just as straight, and then he said, well, there's nothing you can't learn. And I got the job, worked there 5.5 years.
Well, that is cool.
And went to the work with the city of Burbank. I got laid off there because they were cutting down, and there was about 3 of us that were laid off because of seniority. And I went out to the city of Burbank and went to work the next day, and after I was laid off, and I was sitting in the car listening to the World Series on the radio. And it was a friend, and the city engineer walked along and said to this chap, where can I get an instrument, run instrument? One sitting right here, he said. And I said, when do you want me? I suppose it would be in the morning. Right now, he said, it's about noon.
You work right then.
I worked for 4 months, and they were caught up, and there was 2 of us that wouldn't go because it was a temporary tool, so it was a temporary job. So I was laid off Saturday night. Monday morning I went to work for the city of Los Angeles. I don't want to take an examination. And I put them in 30 years and 5 months.
Well, 3 years and 5 months.
For part of the time I was in another department, I transferred to the water department.